This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Like he's back. Doesn't sound like he's back.
I can see Mark.
I don't know how I got.
There you are. All right. Well, now you're back.
Is it plugged in?
I'm back.
All right. And he's back.
And I'm back.
Well, it's nice to see you're back, Mark.
Thank you.
Speaking of Marks, you can learn more about awesome things happening in New Hampshire in the march towards liberty in our lifetime via our friends at Porcupine Real Estate, who are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms that are enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. You can reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple of best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. You can visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations, and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com. Thank you again to Mark Warden, speaking of Marks, over there at Porcupine Real Estate. They're doing a bang-up job.
Yeah, Steve Nass had a great one on food freedom.
Nice.
That I saw. And that's a good series to tune into. They're quick. Like half an hour. Real kind of... You know, not a four-hour seminar. It's just quick hits. Good ideas.
Nice. It is Free Talk Live. If you would like to join us in the studio tonight, you can call 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Mark Edge.
We're happy to have Mark
here. Well, no, he's not in the studio.
Well,
he is kind of in the studio.
He's vicariously
in the studio. He's right here, right there.
His voice is in the studio.
His voice is in the studio.
Damn it. And we've got facsimile Mark queued up here in seat number, three. Mark, I've been meaning to ask you this because it's been a point of consternation in my brain. Every time I have ever done a show in the studio with you, you always sit in what I call seat number two.
That's what I call it, too.
Okay. All right. Now, whenever...
The number two seat.
I'm in the number two seat.
And we are in the midst of our number two story,
yeah,
so that's why it all
ties
relevant.
Together.
Have you ever sat in the number three chair to do a show?
Sure.
You have?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Now and then, for instance, if I needed to come into the studio late or something, somebody would be sitting in that seat. I'm not going to tell one of the co-hosts that's come in and given us their evening to chat with us. Hey, you got to get out. That's my chair. You
know, he's got a placard right here. It says Mark Edge right there. Placard. You're out. Get out.
That leads me to another question I have for you, Mr. Mark Edge. Recently, I think yesterday, on Free Talk Live, I made the claim that I am, as far as voluntarists, libertarians, anarchists go, I am punctual. That is to say, on time or early.
Yeah, if you're not early, you're late.
This is not a common characteristic of libertarians, at least stereotypically. Now, Mark, I don't think I've ever known you to be late for a show or, really anything.
I've been late for Free Talk Live in the past. Certainly, I beat myself up over it more than probably the average person does.
All right.
But
what about in general? Yeah. Are you generally a punctual dude?
I'm of the opinion that you're either early, on time's late, and early's on time.
Okay. Hold on.
100% on-time guarantee.
Well, yeah.
About that.
Working in broadcast, you have to be 100% on time.
You've got to be on time.
Yeah, you can't be like, we're going to start the show at 10 after 7. Like, leave people hanging. You can't. You got to be right on.
To be fair, we've done that on both Freer Talk Live as well as Beard Talk Live, where we'd have some sort of a technicality before we can actually start the show. Right. So, but we would still do, you know, the length of the program. If it was like 3 hours or whatever it was. Yeah. You know, we would still do the full 3 hours, just instead of starting, you know, at the bottom of the hour, we'd start a few minutes late and go a few minutes over.
Yeah.
That's the blessing of Free Talk Live is that it's in Ian's living room. There's always somebody who can run a show sitting there. So it's 7:06, you know, we'll figure it out.
Indeed. All right. We've been talking about our number two story today, which is from Zero Hedge. French farmers dump manure on government buildings to protest climate hysteria. And apparently over there in France, they've had, you know, some things happening with taxation, higher costs for the farming sector, carbon taxes, nitrogen limits, and laws to cull livestock. And they are protesting all of that by, they have pictures here that I wish I could show to our listening audience.
We could smell it. Well, no, maybe not.
I'm one of these guys that
giant 6-inch tubes coming off of big trucks, and they're spraying brown stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's dudes wearing what I like to call the zoot suits. They're in this picture, they're red, but they're these like disposable suits, these coveralls the that you put on.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
kind of like that. Yeah.
Suit, yeah.
I've seen mechanics wear them. I've seen people who do what do you call it? When somebody comes to pump out your
septic?
Your septic system.
Oh, yeah,
they'll wear that because they're disposable, right? They're just, you know, paper and plastic or whatever. But, yeah, the giant tubes. It looks like a green fire truck tanker, the back of this
sprays
thing
out the back.
Is what it looks like. And then, yeah, there's a guy holding a green hose that is definitely spraying a brown substance upon what I'm assuming is one of these government buildings.
We call that substance protest.
Yeah.
Spraying protest. As much as they can. Roads were also blockaded and vehicles were set on fire.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
So not only are they spraying number two all over the government buildings, but they're
lighting,
apparently blocking roads and setting vehicles on fire. It says here, agricultural workers and farmers protest against rises in taxes and higher costs in the farming sector by blockading roads. Incoming carbon taxes, nitrogen limits, and laws to cull livestock will make food more expensive. You know that, right?
Well, that's the point.
Yeah,
That's Agenda 2030 right there.
400 farmers descend on St. Brieuc. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Blocking.
Sounds like you are.
Making it up.
Blocking roads around council buildings. Protests across France against green taxes and policies handed down by the EU, killing the industry across the continent. Farmers carrying signs that said, "France, do you still want your farmers?" and "Without support, France is starving," sprayed manure on the offices of Brittany Regional Council in Rennes. So around 60 tractors were convened outside Brittany Regional Council with farmers, you know, holding these signs. They spread manure on administrative buildings in the province of Brittany to protest all of this. They also threw eggs at government buildings, dumped manure on official premises.
Official.
Official. And blocked roads with tires in protest of these high taxation and other government reforms.
I wonder if it's the same guys that have the contract to clean the government buildings.
Well, if you are an entrepreneur, though, an entrepreneur,
I would have started a second company before I started that protest.
Yep.
You know, like, hey, if your government building needs to be cleaned, 20% off, and then you run that.
We're number two at cleaning up. One organization leading the protest said the demonstrations will remain complete as long as the government does not provide French agriculture with all the means allowing it to be fully involved in the food, energy, and environmental issues of the future. I think that means that the protests will continue.
Is he
right? It's still morale.
Right, yeah, the beatings will continue. The Netherlands has been rocked by similar protests in recent years against limits on nitrogen emissions that would have led to the shutdown of thousands of farms.
Well, you know how you get the rest of the folks, the rest of the the population involved in these protests is you have every farmer do this, get arrested, and then they can't farm. And then when the food stops, then the pitchforks and torches will come out on these government buildings. Arrest them. Put them in jail. Shut down the farms. See what happens. But I think that's kind of their goal, is to create this anarchy.
Go!
Go! No, 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 no!
Sorry, we're talking about Europe. I just had to do it. Goal.
Sounds like Latin America to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. It is. Man, I was actually, this is totally off topic. I was watching.
You can change the topic.
I know, that's what I'm doing. Like whiplash segue.
Yeah, you don't just have to call in.
I was watching a pirated stream of an NFL broadcast.
Ooh.
And I just so happened to get the Mexican version.
It was pirated? It wasn't SAP? Because I've done some Spanish stuff.
I mean, so it was really weird because they say everything in the Spanish accent.
Right.
Except for the names of the players.
Right.
Right? You know, Joe Flacco. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, right? And I was just like, wow, this is weird. And then when they score a touchdown or they kick a field goal, they do the shortened version, but they're like, goal!
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right? And I was like, wow, that's...
Yeah, the Spanish announcers really, from working in international television, they are just so much more alive in their commentary.
Yeah, their energy.
It's just from the beginning of the game to the last, you know, saying goodbye.
Like something is taught, at least in the, I've taken a couple of different voiceover classes, and I've done, you know, some voice work and that kind of thing. What they teach in these classes is for you to be not any of that. You don't want to be too emotional in your speaking when you're doing this type of work. In fact, you want to sound indifferent for at least for the U.S. audience.
Right, right.
When you're doing these
don't
types
offend
of things.
Anyone.
Because you don't want to, I really like that voice, or like, I really don't like that voice, right? You want to be very neutral.
Very
you want to be sort of, you don't want to be monotonous or monotone, right? You want to have some inflection in your voice, but you want to keep it very, you know, a very short box of that.
Right.
And I'm not, like, I've done plenty of voiceovers and stuff, but, like, my enthusiasm just sort of rings through.
Yeah, you don't want to be NPR. Like,
right. Right.
Well, I would think that if you were doing the voiceover for the radio for, say, the official channel of the Tampa Bay Rays, right? Like, at that point, you can be excited about it. But whereas if you're doing ABC's, voiceover, their commentary.
SAP, yeah.
Then you have to be, you know, not pick a side. It would be my guess. I don't know. I mean, I haven't. I just happened to end up behind a microphone. I never took any training for it.
Yeah, but you have something. I think they. What do they call it in the industry, Mark? Talent.
Talent. I think my talent was disagreeing with Ian.
I mean, that's still a talent.
it's very narrow, especially when your business partner's in prison.
I don't tend to argue with you very much. Occasionally we disagree on something, but we usually we say our piece and then that's what it is.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, we don't really argue. Do we?
You got to bring it back from the break and then mischaracterize my statement and then argue against that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, this is where I'm lacking, right? This is where your training has, definitely fallen short, Mark. You haven't trained me on the ways to do that.
That's training for Ian.
You just sort of let me go about my business however I want, and this is what happened.
And we gave you another night to do it.
You did, it's true. Do we dare do a double flush?
Two number two stories?
Do we dare? Mark?
I'd say full house.
Upper deck. Let's
go. All right. Did we
finish that?
We did. Yeah, that was the end.
It's flush. Okay.
Let's go to our second number two story.
Wow.
Right. We usually.
It's a big one.
It's a big. Did you get that package? It's a big one.
The puns. Just...
I think the delivery man went around back and dropped it off the pool.
Yeah, he used the back door.
No.
To make his delivery. This from nypost.com. under the topic of sex and relationships.
Oh, come on.
My ex refused to give me toilet paper when I needed it, so I dumped him.
Yeah, I saw this one. It seems so strange. I didn't read the story, though.
What a poopy reason to get dumped, the article begins. Some ill-fated relationships go swirling down the drain after one or both partners cheat. Some hit the skids when the lover gets tangled in a lie. Off topic, or at least what? Not in the article. Steve, I hear you have race car underwear. You know, the kind with the skid bars.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Listen again.
But these two particular sweeties, the article continues, went stinky over a roll of bathroom tissue and an incredibly crappy attitude. I had to end it. Just kept thinking about how this isn't the last time I'm going to run out of toilet paper, Jess Jacobson told the Post on Monday. When I think of my future self-stranded on the toilet, he's... When I think of my future self-stranded on the toilet, he's not
wait,
the person...
No, when he thinks of his future, comma...
Well, they missed...
Yeah, it's a comma or a parenthesis.
No, I think my future self, comma, stranded on the toilet, comma...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's not the person I want to be there to ask for help. I deserve more. Toilet paper especially. This is somebody complaining about their significant other.
Refusing to give them toilet paper while they sat on the john.
The scorned sweetheart from Los Angeles spilled her guts to more than 11.5 million TikTok viewers last week. I'm breaking up with the guy I'm dating because of what he did to me when I was on the toilet the other day. Jacobson began her unbelievable TikTok.
Attention-grabbing headline.
Yeah, right.
It's all clickbait. The TikTok stuff, yeah, right? Like, I got to become internet famous. Yeah. 14 minutes and counting.
So I'm at his house, continued the blonde. I sit down to take a poop. I go to wipe, and there's no toilet paper. Naturally, Jacobson yelled out to her then-honey, asking him to hand her a spool of TP from his first-floor commode. A simple request that the nameless numbskull allegedly refused to fulfill. He said no.
One wonders why.
But, I mean, if you're going to the bathroom and you got to do that, it's almost like getting in a car and, like, I don't have any gasoline. Like, make sure you have gasoline before you're going somewhere.
Like, I have had this happen in my own house where I did not I have one of these, like, standalone toilet paper roll holder things that holds, like, three rolls.
On the bottom,
plus the one that's in there. And... Once upon a time, I neglected to refill the thing.
Yeah, you're down to one, like, I'll remember.
And I didn't, and then, you know, I wake up and I go to do my morning constitution, if you will, and, no toilet paper. Now, normally I have, like, a box of Kleenex or, you know, something, but, like, I didn't at the time. I had to get up and walk over to the closet and get a fresh roll and come back and then take care of the business, right? And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't that big a deal.
But you didn't have anyone to shout out to.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm wondering what this particular person would have done in that situation. Right? Would she have broke up with herself? Right? Would she have committed suicide? Would she have just stayed on the toilet until somebody showed up?
911, I'm stuck on the toilet. Please.
Oh, my gosh. Ma'am, this is an emergency.
Call 912.
Please. 912. He said, no, I already told you that bathroom you're using is out of toilet paper. Sorry, she recalled. So apparently he had told her twice that bathroom was out of toilet paper.
It was the number two time he told her.
Definitely. And despite the Gen Z'er's repeated pleas for help, Jacobson claims her anti-hero left her high and not so dry. With S... In my A, I explained to him that he's my only option, she carried on. I can't walk downstairs and get the toilet paper. That's not true. You probably could have. It would have been messy, but you could have done. Tensions continued mounting between the troubled twosome.
The twosome.
Reaching a fever pitch when Jacobson began screaming for help at the top of her lungs, hoping a neighbor might respond to her distress.
Wow.
Wow.
I'd like to hear his side of this story I feel like I'm getting only one ply.
Yeah, one ply. Yeah, the story seems perforated. Finally, he's like, fine, fine, fine. I'll go get the toilet paper. What the you're so FCCing dramatic.
Yeah. Right, that's it.
Yeah. By the way, Mark, if you haven't been listening, I've reverted to using FCC as a substitute cuss word.
I think it's great.
So feel free to use it yourself if you like.
You know, it's been since the Bush administration that they went after anybody for what they said on the radio, and like, there hasn't been any guidance about this in a very long time.
Sure.
One kind of wonders. Now, I'm of the opinion that using cuss words in a news talk show would be unprofessional. However, if you're reporting on what was said, that might be a different story, that there might be
that's fair use of a quote for the news story.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to play that as an audio clip, here's the interview with the woman on the toilet, and she was swearing, I guess you have to bleep it out. But if I didn't swear. I wasn't swearing.
If the AP reported this news on the internet, where a lot of people, a good percentage of the American population, maybe even the majority of the American population, gets its news, if the AP reported this and they chose to use some of those words, then why would the radio not be able to do it? Now, again, there's been no guidance, and I can tell you that the gentlemen that run the radio stations, the 200 radio stations we're on, would probably not appreciate us pushing the boundaries of this particular issue.
Right.
But one of the reasons that radio is dying, ladies and gentlemen, is because we can't compete in so many ways with the internet.
Right.
We can't. You know, we can't say anything. Now, we can go on and we can joke, get rather jocular about number two here, but we can't go and actually say what was said in this.
Well, now,
I'm going to use air quotes here. News story.
In the article itself.
Did they bleep it out?
Like, it's
blank,
what
blank.
The F-K question mark, you're so F-King dramatic, she said.
So they self-censored.
They censored here as well.
Fine by me.
My take on it is, I'm a freedom of speech absolutist, and so I believe people should be free to say whatever the FCC they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's goddamn ridiculous that several government agencies, the FCC, the FAA, and NASA, all claim to own air.
They own space.
Air, specifically.
Right.
Because the atmosphere.
The guy from Canada who sent the rocket up and took a picture of space.
Well, I think the EPA also claims to own the air. So, at any rate, the traumatizing incident left her feeling like number two, she confessed. That's actually one of the craziest things anyone's ever done to me. Well, she hasn't lived life, if that's one of the craziest things. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming your way.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Heavy fighting is reported in southern Gaza. Israeli's military continues to pound suspected Hamas targets. The fighting has intensified since the U.S. vetoed a U.N. call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he discussed efforts to meet the humanitarian needs in Gaza in a meeting with Arab leaders on Friday. The White House is approving an emergency arms sale to Israel. According to the State Department, the U.S. will sell roughly 14,000 tank artillery rounds to Israel for just over $106 million. The agency cited a provision in the Arms Export Control Act that allows it to bypass Congress in approving the sale. LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels is the 2023 Heisman Trophy winner.
On Saturday, Daniels was named this year's recipient of the award given to the player who's been voted best player in college football.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I was thrown off by the meowing.
That was the meow mix.
It's, yes. Meow mix commercial. That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Speaking
of commercials, after the last segment, we probably should have had a bidet advertiser on.
If you have a product related to number two and would like to advertise in Free Talk Live, please send an email to mark@freetalklive.com.
Hey, maybe we can get some free toilet paper. We'll trade you.
Oh, man. One of my bands. This is Free Talk Live, by the way, in case anybody's wondering.
Number two Talk Live.
We are doing the second number two story of the night.
It's a double flush.
It's a double flush.
Double flush Sunday.
It's only in celebration of Mark Edge being on the show. This in no way is reflective of our opinion of Mark as a host or co-host. Although he seems to wipe the floor with us as a talent.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to say that once upon a time I was in a band, and we had a song that was a bit political, right? Or yeah. Anti-political, right?
Anti-political?
Basically yelling at the man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sort of anarchic.
Kind of like the
will.
French farmers.
Kind of, yeah.
All
yeah.
Music, yeah.
It was just like, you know, screw the man, screw the government, yeah. You know, this stuff sucks, you know, that kind of a thing. Mark, you're making noise over there.
You okay?
Not sure what's going on.
He dropped his microphone.
Sorry.
He did drop his microphone, actually.
It's a mic drop.
Mark Edge is so good, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't see him, but I can tell you, I can see on the screen in the room that he's at, he is sitting in front of a map of the Earth.
It's flat.
It is flat. The map, that is. But he also has two microphones in front of him. He's so good, the man needs two microphones. So, there you go.
And he has one here in the studio.
Anyway, my story is, I'm in this band, we're playing this thing, and the show, and, you know, you got to do something to, like, make the show memorable, right, for everybody. Make it a personalized experience for the audience so that they remember not only you as a band, but the time that they had. Like, right. Oh, yeah, remember that time we went to the show and that thing happened? Yeah, that was an awesome thing.
Well, I was there, yeah.
The thing that we did is we managed to acquire toilet paper rolls with dollar bills and presidents.
Cool.
Right? So different, like one toilet paper roll would be like rolling out dollar bills. One would be like rolling out pictures of like Obama.
One
toilet paper roll would have like Bush or whatever, yeah. You know, or Trump or whatever, right. You know, presidents on. And so like at the crescendo of the song, the singer just sort of reaches down into this, you know, Tupperware bucket, you know, kind of a thing, and just starts toilet paper in the crowd with these rolls of toilet paper. And that was our thing that we did. So
that's great.
It's somewhat related to our number two story because it's toilet paper. So there you have it.
You could be over there in France with those farmers.
The Frenchies bidets, don't they?
Oh, right. That's it.
So.
Okay.
This article about this breakup.
By the way, having just been in France, they have both in the bathroom, so you can, you know.
I'm curious, Mark. Is there a place in France where the naked ladies dance?
I didn't see it. Okay. I'm sure there is.
All right. I'm looking for confirmation of this fictitious entity that, you know, does it exist in real life?
Hmm.
Anyway, this story about this breakup over toilet paper just has a little bit more to it. Supporters encouraged the porcelain princess to not waste her time fretting over the doo-doo-headed dude who wouldn't bring her a roll of toilet paper.
Supporters. He has supporters.
He clear as day showed that when you're vulnerable, sick, or something is inconvenient to him, he's not going to be there for you. Run, urged a concerned commenter. That's a relationship breaker, another one wrote. That's crimson red of all the flags. First signs of an abuser. Oh, gosh. So if Jacobson heeded the devious advice about swiping the dope's linens and paper products, she wouldn't be the first woman to exact cruel revenge on a deserving ex.
I wonder how long this took. Like, you know, what the gentleman's point appeared to be, according to the woman who's making this, telling the story, is that he had told her on two occasions not to use that particular bathroom, and that, you know, trying to send his point home that, hey, you should listen to what I say, as opposed to just doing what you want and expecting me to clean up the mess. Now, I agree that leaving her sitting there maybe for a half an hour sounds, you know, outlandish, but 2 minutes, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, is she just the kind of drama queen that began yelling for help? you know, I have no clue.
Well, either way, I'm sure that story ended with a flush. So let's go to some of your calls and thoughts here on Free Talk Live. We have Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live with Mark, Steve, and the Captain.
Good evening, guys. Yeah, Mark kind of half stole my thunder. The easiest way out of this for this young lady was you just do the hillbilly bidet. You flush down the load you made, then you got a fresh bowl of water, and you just splash a little bit and clean your butt.
Well, that does sound like a hillbilly bidet.
Yeah, it is.
I thought the hillbilly bidet was going outside and, like, you know, taking the garden hose.
Well, that would be extreme, I guess. And you'd have to have a garden hose and inside plumbing and all that. And some hillbillies just don't have that.
Huh? Maybe I'm thinking of the hillbilly enema.
Talking about the New Hampshire hillbillies a while back.
Yeah,
and, West Coast.
Just an interesting little bit of trivia. In the old Noah Webster Dictionary, a hillbilly was a northern Michigan dirt farmer.
Dirt farmer?
Tennessee. Yeah, go figure.
Okay, let's define dirt farmer here, because I've never known anyone to make money at having a field of dirt.
Well, that's just how Noah wrote it up in the book.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to be farming.
Are there a lot of hills in Michigan?
Well,
what's that?
Mark was
asking. There a lot of hills?
No, but the people that moved up to the northern part of Michigan were a bit of a rough breed at the time. It was still Indian territory till, hell, almost 1878 or something.
Hmm. Well, and I know the upper peninsula of Michigan does at least have one mountain. I'm familiar with Iron Mountain, and I can only assume that there are hills surrounding that mountain. It's very rare for just a mountain to be there without more of them.
There's a range going all the way up the Keweenaw Peninsula. It's called the Porcupine Mountains.
Oh, weird. Huh. All right.
Well, I got one for you, Captain. You know how you aren't particularly fond of voting and all that.
Yep.
A guy actually won an election by one vote. It was just for like a city council seat or school board or something. I think it was out in Oregon or Washington.
He won by like.
The real ironic part about it is he voted for himself in the election, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, his competitor didn't vote for himself.
I thought he won by one vote. Like, there was only one vote. He won 1-0. He just.
No. But if his competitor had voted for himself, it would have been a tie.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we've said for a long time here on Free Talk Live that for voting to have an effect, the best chance for that is to do it locally. Right, in your own town, right, your own community, you know, that type of thing. That's where your vote is going to carry
the most weight,
any weight, really, right. At all.
Right.
If you're voting for a president, your vote is statistically irrelevant.
Popularity contest.
Right, this is one of the critiques of the Free State Project. Well, if the Free State Project is successful, why do they keep on voting for Obama and sending statists to Washington? Because that's where we like our statists.
Right, keep them out of state.
We would prefer them to leave.
We got to put them somewhere.
And, yeah.
But the reality is, here's the real situation, is that the Free State Project has moved maybe at the outside 10,000 libertarians to the state of New Hampshire. This is the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And those 10,000 people in a state of 1.4 million clearly aren't going to make the biggest difference on who they vote for in a statewide election. And so that's not an excellent way to figure it out, because our voters are just like your voters. Our voters care the most about the presidency and care quite a bit less about the Senate and the House and things like that, to the point that they, like the people in your town, can't name their county commissioners and can't name their city councilors. And that is the area where the Free State Project focuses. They focus on the House seats and what we call the general court in New Hampshire, the state Senate seats. How many of the people listening to me right now, as a percentage, can name their state senator, their state House representative?
1%.
My guess is 1%. And I can't name it here in the district I'm in Florida, and don't care to learn. Not gonna go look it up, because I just don't care. But, it's the same way there. And so the Free Staters have essentially used this in order to get, I think the Free State Project has something like 50 butts in seats in the 400 seats in the New Hampshire House. And of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance has rated at B+ or above more than about 125 people. That is like close to a third of the New Hampshire House. And that's a pretty functional libertarian veto. Nothing gets through as to law without either both the Republicans and the Democrats, or the Republicans and the Libertarians. And I don't mean Libertarian as a political party. I mean Libertarian as a philosophy, because mm-hmm. they run as Democrats and they run as
Republicans,
thank you. So that's really effective. I believe in the future that New Hampshire is going to be as free as a state of the United States can be, which is to say, not free, but as free as a state can be.
The best case scenario.
Right. Major?
Yep.
Well, I got nothing more on the election things. But
what else you got?
I was thinking about You know, Venezuela is trying to take over poor little New Guinea. Well, it used to be French New Guinea.
Guiana?
I guess we just call it Guinea now or something.
Okay. French Guiana?
French Guiana. It's just on the northern border of Venezuela, and they just discovered a massive oil pocket there. And
must be terrorists underneath that oil and around that oil.
For 178 years, and Venezuela is just trying to take it over. So they got the militaries bristling on the Brazilian border and also on the New Guinea border.
So it's Guyana.
French Guiana. Yeah.
Yep. It's Guyana, which is in the middle is Suriname, and then over to the east of Guyana is French Guiana. And so Guyana sits on the east of Venezuela. It has recently, and Guyana's northern coast has been found this very large, at least for this small country, oil reserve. And strange, Venezuela has now resurrected, a centuries-old complaint that they didn't get this particular area. I can't remember what it's called, but it's been in the news. And it's about two-thirds of Guyana's total land. Now, as I recall, most of the population lives to the east, but one of the things that Venezuela voted for, which is, I think, very, very interesting, is that they're offering citizenship to any Guyanese who wants it. Now, presumably, like most places in the world, Guyana allows their citizens to have dual citizenship. And believe me, the United States does, even though they say they don't. And so you could have two passports. Now, not that the Venezuelan passport is a particularly valuable one, but the free passport that you can get, you should always get it.
Right.
Yeah. Amen to that.
And I'll tell you why. Although it doesn't seem like it's particularly useful, it wasn't too long ago when you went to the U.S.-Mexico border, and unless you had a Mexican residency or a Mexican citizenship, you couldn't get across it.
Hmm.
And, you know, they had stopped all travel.
Yeah, it doesn't work the other way. The other way around.
At this point, there's more Mexicans going home than they are staying.
Right,
the
right. Now, if they're offered this passport for Venezuela, and they have dual citizenship, if they incentivize this enough, they won't have to take over the country. Everyone will just be Venezuelan.
Well, right? the issue is that the people in Caracas want the revenue from that oil.
Right.
And ExxonMobil has made a deal with the people in Georgetown. And so the politicians in Georgetown want to keep that oil. And that's really what nobody wants to serve the citizens of a country better, especially this is Venezuela. I mean, wants that
Citgo
passport?
Right. Citgo is the national, the oil, I don't know what you call it. Nationalized oil. Citgo, yeah. I believe, in Venezuela.
Yep, I would agree. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Argentinians talking about the Falklands or the Maldives, depending on Malvinas, depending on where you're from. Is they've been complaining about this since we were kids, Captain. Do you remember the war?
The Falkland Islands? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's right,
British,
Steve.
That was a British.
You're older than I am. Yeah. It's this was a conflict, and for whatever reason, the dictators that were in charge of Buenos Aires at the time wanted to misdirect people from the things that they're doing there. So they thought, we'll just go take back those islands that belong to us. And they went over there. There was a referendum. Do you want to be part of Argentina, or do you want to be part of the British Empire? And it was like 98% of the people of the Falklands voted they wanted to be part of Britain because, pick between them, a government that goes bankrupt every three decades or, one that doesn't.
That's the referendum we need here in New Hampshire.
I thought it was because of the food.
Oh.
They were like, we got to get some of that, bland and, left out room temperature food.
Mm-hmm.
Britons.
I saw a tweet. It was asking if British food is really bad, and the response was, "If prepared properly, yes."
Major, any other thoughts tonight?
No, that kind of answers one of my questions: is why wasn't you know, like with what's going on over in Israel right now. They send over two fleets of battleships and aircraft carriers, but nobody seems to be raising a hand to help this poor little country. So it doesn't surprise me that big oil's behind it again somehow or another.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Major, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you, man. 603-283-6160.
You know, the Biden administration is sitting there praying that Venezuela does something and that they can send one U.S. naval ship out there, scare the bejesus out of the Venezuelan army and send them back over the border so that Biden then gets a war and can get a little bump from being tough guy Joe.
Yeah. I don't even think that would register because the dude is just...
He's a number two star.
Beyond senile, I mean, the statements that he makes are just like how...
The Elton John thing last week.
How did anybody even for a minute go, yeah, I'm behind this guy.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, at this point, he's had his lowest ratings yet. He's at 37%. And
that's surprisingly high, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, 33% of the... I've always said 40%. 40% of the American population would vote for Stalin if he ran Democrat, or Hitler if he ran Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, it's just the 20% in between that make up the difference.
I think that they should, instead of sending battleships, they should send ships filled with many copies of the tabletop game Battleship.
Let's pass those out.
Well, H6, you sank my battleship. Maybe that's how wars should be fought, right?
And I advocate for it over and over again that the chief executive of any given country must, if he, instead of attacking the country and killing innocents, just challenge to a duel with short swords and bucklers, the chief executive of the other country. Let him fight it out. Well, I mean, you know, I'll get some stadium room there in San Pedro Sula and we'll have a
pay-per-view event with that. It'd be huge.
Right.
Well,
right.
So the thing is. Awesome. The thing is, we know that these tyrants, you know, presidents, dictators, you know, that type of a thing, these, quote, leaders of countries,
officials,
quote, officials.
Government officials.
We know that they don't have any balls, because if they did, they would go fight wars themselves, right? So I'm taking your idea, Mark, with the duel, but I'm reducing the balls needed to participate, and instead of swords or you know, the duel with the quick draw of the guns, you know, Old West style or whatever, I'm proposing a tabletop board game known as Battleship. Right. Imagine like Zelensky and Biden, you know, sitting down to a duel. It's all very produced, like the online poker tournaments and all that stuff. You know, they got cameras and they got announcers and like bold move, Cotton.
Oh, but it would have to be electronic Battleship with the sound effects, though.
Yeah, of course.
I would. My solution would rid the world of one chief executive every time.
Oh, you have a point there.
Verizon versus AT&T.
So we talk a lot here on Free Talk Live about liberty.
And number two.
Well, that's only on Sundays.
On Sundays, yeah.
This next story is from Libertyville, Illinois.
Oh, cool.
Right. That was only for the segue. There's no more relevance to that at all.
Okay.
That was just the segue. This from Chicago's very own WGN9. Parents sue Volkswagen following carjacking and kidnapping of toddler in Libertyville. The parents
Volkswagen.
They're suing Volkswagen
for the kidnapping
after their car was carjacked and their toddler was kidnapped. The parents of a toddler who was kidnapped during a carjacking are suing the automaker Volkswagen. Attorneys for the family claim Volkswagen refused to assist authorities in tracking the car until payment of their tracking system was paid and activated. This is the argument that a lot of non-libertarians or statists make about the free market. Oh, so when your house catches on fire, nobody's going to put it out unless you've paid?
Right? Well, that's like AAA. I mean, if you did have police on demand and you didn't subscribe to the police service and you wanted the police and you called 911 or 912,
yeah,
they show up, they give you a bill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you know, you don't have the service,
I mean, you are paying for it one way or another, right? Right? It's just that I would prefer the market price versus the government price, because the government price is always bloated. It's always way too much.
Yeah.
And people who don't want or need the service are forced to pay for it.
Right. But you could have AAA, or you could just drive without AAA. And if you get into a, you know, if you're stuck on the side of the road, you call them. And they say, do you have a subscription? Or are you a member? You say, no.
They're like, will that be Visa or MasterCard?
Right, so they'll give you the membership right there for the $100-some dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're on your way. Now you're on your way.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never considered that.
So you don't have to.
But again, I've had the gold membership for a very long time.
Yeah, RV service. Mm. That's what I've had.
No, my birth mom used to buy me AAA every year for my birthday and just renew it continuously.
Oh, a little peace of mind.
Until she passed away, and then I just never renewed it myself.
Did you ever get stuck?
Well, I have roadside assistance through my car insurance now. Oh, so, yeah. You know, it's
kind of like it.
Yeah, it's. It's. I've only had to use it one time, so it's fine. Attorneys for the family claim that Volkswagen refused to assist in tracking the car until payment of their tracking system was made. The incident happened last February in the 16,000 block of Route 137 in unincorporated Libertyville.
Oh, wow. Unincorporated?
When Taylor Shepard, who was pregnant at the time, was returning home. This is a real-life miracle baby, Noah, who I was pregnant with when all this happened, Shepard said. According to Shepard, when she went to retrieve her 2-year-old son from the car, an assailant pulled up behind her 2021 Volkswagen Atlas, assaulted her, and knocked her to the ground. According to the lawsuit, the assailant then stole the Volkswagen Atlas with the 2-year-old boy inside and fled, running over Shepard and causing serious injuries to her extremities and her pelvis.
Ouch.
She immediately called 911, and the first responders arrived at the scene shortly after. We'll find out more about what happened to Mrs. Shepard, the stolen Volkswagen, and the 2-year-old coming up here on Free Talk Live. If you want to join us, the telephone number is 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up with Mark Edge, Steve Classic, and the Captain.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.